Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series show. I am live in studio with best-selling author Lori Beth Jones, leading our discussion around her book, Teach Your Team to Fish. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you, Shirley. It's great to be here.
It is great to be here, a gorgeous sunny day in Southern California. We got rid of the rain for a couple of hours.
Hopefully forever. Well, not forever, but for the next week, speaking in wind fashion.
Wind fashion, that's right. Well, you kind of stirred things up a little bit this week, Lori, with this chapter in transformation. I found it interesting that we landed on this particular topic, that Jesus was kind but not always nice, in the section on transformation. Connect the dots for me there a little bit. How did that chapter end up in the transformation of developing his team?
Well, I think that two things that my studies of leadership have shown, and others as well, leaders have to be comfortable with or not afraid of rejection and confrontation. So leaders need to be able to anticipate that's going to be part of their profit stew, if you will, the recipe.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going around thinking, I need to be nice to everybody, and Christians, I think, tend to think that,
sure,
and women especially are trained to be nice. And when I looked up the word nice, it has to do with being agreeable. It means pleasing, courteous, or agreeable. Kind means showing sympathy or understanding.
Mm.
So you can be kind to someone, but sometimes what appears to be niceness is really manipulation or fear or duplicitous thinking. You know, were we being nice to Hitler when the Allies divided up Czechoslovakia and gave it to him? A woman who forgives her husband that just beat her, is she being nice to him? Forgiving him for what he just, you know, just broke her ribs and her cheekbone. What does that mean to be nice?
Right.
And why are you being nice? And it's not that you go around being disagreeable, but to make niceness a goal as a leader can lead you down a very slippery slope.
Mm-hmm. You have some great examples of how, you know, these statements this week that you've kind of pushed out to all of us, just kind of made me like scratch my head, you know, and I guess I knew some of them, but I didn't take them maybe in the context of being nice or kind. For example, in order to follow me, you must hate your family. You know, that's some heavy dose of something there. I don't know what, but
neither nice or kind.
Yeah.
Well, and I tell the story in this chapter of a friend of mine who was being interviewed for a leadership position at a church, and she had come from a career in the business world, and they, in their background research, they learned that she had actually fired two people over a 20-year period. So one of the deacons sat her down and said, you know, we cannot build a church on broken hearts. She told me that, and oh, I couldn't believe it. And so that deacon obviously valued niceness.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, did you tell that deacon to reread the gospel and some of the quotes in there? Jesus said, I have come not to bring peace, but a sword. Mary said, Lord, if you'd been here sooner, Lazarus would not have died.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus looked at the man who wanted to follow him after he'd taken the time to bury his father and said, let the dead bury the dead.
Yeah.
And I pictured the deacon looking at Jesus saying, you know, we cannot build a church on a string of broken hearts. It's like, that is what the church has been built on.
Sure.
To be realistic. Pierced souls, broken hearts, disappointed people, new paths taken.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quitting my job as a carpenter mom to go do this. That probably broke her heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so let's not always think that we have to be nice, trembling in fear. Or I was at a furniture store the other day, and this woman, a pregnant woman, came in, and she was asking for a different exit in the adventure guide had been working with her prior to me, and he showed her where it was, and she said, "I'm sorry for interrupting." And he turned after she left. He said, "She said I'm sorry about 50 times in the 15 minutes that I'd been talking to her." He said, "Who taught her that?" Mm. You know, and statistically, women, we tend to say I'm sorry more than men, because we're taught to be agreeable.
Right.
But when do you need sometimes not to be agreeable?
Mm.
Maybe you're Deborah the judge who says, "Come on, let's. What are you all trembling for?" Or King David, "What are you trembling for?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we not the children of God? So the reason I put this book in, this chapter in the book, in the section on transformation, is because we need to assess our values that are always, harness our values to obedience.
Mm.
I had a friend one time say, "You know, Laurie, sometimes we never know what you're going to say."
Hmm.
And I looked at her, and she's a double water, and I thought, well, I always know what you're not going to say. You're not going to tell somebody they're acting like an idiot or to quit drinking or to, I know what you're not going to say.
Yeah.
So her fear was upsetting this dynamic, you know, of alcoholism in her family. And it's mm-hmm. like, yeah, I'm going to say something when people act out.
Yeah. I guess, you know, part of this chapter and the nuance around the words that you chose, he was kind, but not always nice. We just don't picture Jesus not being nice. I mean, the famous scene of throwing the money changers out of the temple, it was pretty obvious he wasn't real happy with those characters, right?
Right.
But, you know, the span of the ministry of his life that's been recorded, we do not necessarily, you know, gravitate to the not always nice. I mean, why is that?
Well, I think it depends on a lot on your elemental makeup and maybe a denominational approach, mm-hmm. because the hellfire and brimstone people love aspect of Jesus throwing out the money changers, and they love some of the harsh words that he spoke
mm-hmm.
against always the scribes and the Pharisees. They want this thunderbolt-throwing, angry God. And so there's perhaps fires are attracted to that. The waters want the meek and mild Jesus,
mm-hmm.
maybe. And it could be denominationally how you're raised. The mainstream tend to be more, well, he was probably nicer than maybe the hellfire and brimstone people were. So I think you need to look at your own cultural filters as to how you see God and examine that and question that, not just you, but all of us. You know, where is this coming from? Is it really the gospel, or is it really
Do you think people, you use Jesus and God kind of in the same context, and without getting into some Trinitarian doctrine here, but do you think denominationally people see Jesus as aggressive, as the angry type, hellfire, brimstone?
Yes.
Or do you think that's the image of God that they have?
Well, and I said in one book, or I've said this before, whenever people, they claim to be followers of Christ until it's time to go to war, and then suddenly they invoke the name of God
mm.
because Christ was a man of peace.
Mm.
So it is a nuance that people conveniently choose, you know, when they want to do battle or they want to go to war. What would Jesus do? If you read Revelations, John of Patmos, he saw Jesus, you know, throwing Satan into casting people out. And yet there's so many other scriptures where Jesus would never do that. So how do you reconcile that
mm-hmm.
personality of the Godhead? The judgment versus mercy.
Yes.
Justice versus forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess that's the tension, you know, between these two words of kind and nice, you know, is if we're just talking elemental, then, you know, we can probably wear that a little bit easier because we see the waters and, you know, sometimes even the earth can be a little bit,
mm-hmm.
the earth types can be a little bit, maybe the winds.
Mm-hmm.
I should say the winds and the waters. you know, maybe on the nice side.
Right.
And
yeah.
the fires and earths are more on the...
What's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so elementally I get that, but I still, you know, still trying to hold this space with you about this transformation. How as leaders, do we take this and apply it, you know, you've, in the form of transformation. You attached earlier, you said values, you know, that our values are connected to this. Can you talk to us a little bit more about
that?
Well,
I think in addition to values, you have intention. So when Jesus mm-hmm. reprimanded Peter and said, three times you're going to deny me,
mm-hmm.
was that nice? Or was it kind, or was he just telling him the truth?
Hmm.
But the reason he confronted him about that was because he wanted that healed. He wanted it recognized so that it could be healed. It was in the spirit of intervention, hmm. not the spirit of destruction.
Hmm.
So,
okay.
So when a leader is speaking the truth in love for the purpose of bringing that stray sheep closer in,
mm-hmm.
that's an intentional palette that you have to look at for what was actually painted on it,
mm.
if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, that's a great way to describe it, and I think it's easier, you know, for me. It takes
yeah.
me a little while sometimes to
well,
get
and
head around that.
I'm thinking of my friend Catherine, who, you know, we took courses in assertiveness training at the Women's Resource Center
mm-hmm.
and all of that, and she said, if you're going to have a confrontation with someone, decide whether you want to continue in a relationship with that person or whether you don't. If you don't intend to continue in relationship mm-hmm. with that person, why go into a confrontation?
Sure.
If you intend to say, I want to talk about this and I want us to be friends afterwards, that set the tone of speaking the truth in love. But if you just come out and attack and say, oh, you are such a jerk or what an
mm-hmm.
idiot you are, then that drives that person out.
Yeah.
Further away.
Mm-hmm. Well, you certainly have you know, grabbed my attention this week in helping to kind of peel back this onion. And I do think you're right that in churches and leadership, it's, you know, and I think about the Sermon on the Mount. You know, probably one of Jesus' favorite or most famous sermons, right? And the Beatitudes that kind of poured out of that that time, you know, showed both kindness and niceness, you know, in the same vein. Yet when he is traveling down the road and somebody catches him picking some weed or helping to...
Weeds.
grain. There we go. Grain on the Sabbath. You know, he doesn't initially answer that, but he, as you've said, he turns his mirror back on those people. And sometimes that's in a nice way, and sometimes it's not nice. But you know, I think this chapter, you know, causes us to pause and say, wow, how do I measure up in that sense?
Mm-hmm.
And what would other people say? You know, is Shelley kind? Is Shelley nice? You know, it really helped me to pause and just kind of hold those two words this week. So thank you for sharing it with us and for bringing it into this kind of transformation piece, attaching it to values. That was another powerful piece for me. So about 50 seconds here, Lori Beth. Any last thoughts?
Well, I think it would be good for all of us and the listeners. I would invite you to think about, are you being kind? That's a universal
mm-hmm.
religious trait, I think, spiritual trait. Or are you being quote-unquote nice just to get along or to get what you want or to avoid a confrontation that needs to take place? Are you
mm-hmm.
trying to avoid critical conversations because you just want to be nice? And you don't get points for being nice
yeah.
in heaven. You get points for obedience.
Mm. Well said. Well, thank you so much today for this time, and we look forward to being back here next week to learn more about this process of Omega Leadership and how Jesus developed his team. So thank you all for listening, and have a great rest of the week.
Thank you, Shelley.
Yeah.